What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 30th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast Blessing, Adeoye Jr.
Happy Thursday, Greg.
Happy Thursday to you, Bless. You're almost through the week. How's it feel?
It feels great. You know, tomorrow's Friday. It's your anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Thank you very much.
Tomorrow. Yes, you get the day off. Are you excited for that?
I am excited not to talk to any of you. You know, just be me and my wife celebrating 3 years. We got big plans. We're going to fly somewhere. We're going to go to some beaches. We're going to cough on some people. It's going to be great.
That sounds awesome. Now, is this all happening with an Animal Crossing?
Or exactly. Okay. Yeah. Sadly, we won't be going anywhere real for that one, of course. What about you? Big weekend plans? Where are you going to go?
Oh, once? Man, you know, just going to be chilling out at the park, you know, having a good old time, just walking, and holding hands with everybody I see. No, I've been playing a lot of JRPGs lately for people who listen to PSLV XOXO. Like, we talked about how we asked the question last week of, like, what JRPGs are the must-play JRPGs on PlayStation, and a lot of people recommended quite a few of them. And so this week I've just been like diving in, and this weekend I can't wait because I'm gonna have a lot more time just to like sit down in front of my TV and just play a bunch of JRPGs that I'm enjoying. Which one are
you tackling? How can you play so many at once? You got to choose.
It's
focus.
That's actually the big problem I have currently is I'm playing three and I am rotating between them, which means I'm never gonna finish any of them because I am at this point 6 or 7 hours into Persona 5 Royal. Uh-huh. I am 3 hours into Trails of Cold Steel. Oh. And I am like 16, 17 hours into Final Fantasy VII from 1997. And I don't want to just commit to one. Yeah, one of the hottest games. I can't just commit to one, right? Because I'm enjoying them all.
You can. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what I'm supposed to do. But like, games. I don't want to like push them like out because once like Persona 5 Royal is going to take me 120 hours to beat probably. And that's months, right? I don't want to push Trails of Cold Steel out for months. I don't want to push Final Fantasy VII out for months, which then probably means I should start with like one of the other ones. But all these games are long games, is what I'm saying. And I want to play them all, Greg. And so I'm making the mistake of playing them all.
I don't think you'll have one of them beaten by the time Last of Us rolls around.
No, I will not. Absolutely not.
Not the way you're chipping away at them, then not a chance in hell.
I'll be lucky if I have these games finished by the end of the year.
And I got bad news for you, Blessing.
Oh no!
It turns out that next week, next gen starts. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Xbox Series X is doing a gaming event. We have all the details on the next Assassin's Creed, and don't expect another Nintendo Direct anytime soon because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show at patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, your comments, your squad up requests, and oh so much more. Plus, of course, you can get the show ad-free along with the exclusive post show we do on patreon.com/kindafunnygames. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, no big deal. You can go to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, watch us record the show live. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Rooster Teeth, and podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Knock on wood, or whatever this weird IKEA desk I stole from Lucy James is. Today is the final part of Nick's Last of Us stream. Knock on wood.
Do you think it's going to be? How far are you?
I mean, no spoilers. We just shot the bunny. You know what I mean? So that gives you a good aspect. So it's right. I think we could do it. I think we have to go further than the 3 hours, but I think we can do it. And then if we go in, but then it is a question of like, if we go further than that, do we just want to wait and do like a Saturday hour long stream or something like that? Knock it out. But what that means is that today at 2 p.m., twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you can watch Nick play Last of Us, his first playthrough ever, maybe finish it. And more importantly, if we do finish it today, you can look for it soon on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames as one giant video. Thank you to our Patreon producers who make this show happen, along with Kinda Funny in general, Mohammed, a.k.a. Momo, the Predator, Al Tribesman, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Old Spice, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. You have a weird pacing to it today, Kevin. Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen. Because
it was like they were coming in groups. It was like, you know what I mean?
It's the internet. It's the connection.
Oh, it's the internet, the connection. That's what I mean. Number one, everybody, Xbox Series X games are coming next week. Today, Xbox put out the following tweet. You want to see games for the Xbox Series X? We want to show you games for the Xbox Series X. Check out our first look next-gen gameplay from our global developers partners within hashtag Inside Xbox on Thursday, May 7th at 8 a.m. Pacific time, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Greenberg doubled down, of course, GM of Xbox Games Marketing at Microsoft. So pumped to see our partners showing us a first look at an Xbox Series X gameplay next week. Also know the Xbox Game Studios teams are hard at work on some big summer plans. More details soon. Hashtag get hype. Prayer hands emoji or praise hands emojis. This thing with the guy doing the X. Oh, I guess for Xbox. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then fire. So Aaron using emojis that I'm too old to understand, even though I think Aaron and I are the same age. Blessing. Out of the blue. Here it is. May. They're swinging on us. We're getting games. How you feeling?
Exciting stuff. Like, this is the beginning of it. Like, it seems that next week is going to be all about third parties, which is an interesting first step. Like, I would have expected them to lead with the foot of, like, okay, no, here's what the Xbox game, like, Xbox first party games are going to look like. But, you know, I think this is also, like, a pretty cool thing, right? Assassin's Creed is going to be there for gameplay, as was tweeted by Ubisoft Nordic. They tweeted, like, we're happy to reveal our first Assassin's Creed Valhalla gameplay trailer during the first look at Xbox Series X gameplay on Inside Xbox. And that's coming off of the cinematic trailer that was revealed today.
Sure, we'll get into that next.
Yeah, we'll get into that soon. But, you know, this all sounds exciting to me. I'm curious to see how they format it. The previous Inside Xbox was them at home in their bedrooms. It was, like, Major Nelson and all of them hanging out, having a good time. I imagine that this next one might be a similar thing, judging off of that Inside Xbox. The big thing for me here is that I'm surprised that they're going the Inside Xbox route for this, because this seems like they are this is like a big reveal, right? This is like not the big Xbox event, but a big Xbox event.
It's our first major signpost in a while in terms of something we can all tune into and be a part of.
Yeah, for Xbox Series X.
Yeah.
And so I wonder how this looks in practice, like when the stream starts, if it is similar to last week's thing where it is like a laid back thing. Hey, it's Major Nelson at home talking maybe on webcam to studio heads or developers talking about the projects that they have working on and how they're taking advantage of Xbox Series X and Smart Delivery and all these things. And then they roll on to the next trailer, whatever it is. I wonder if that's the kind of environment or if it is going to be more of like a packaged up Nintendo Direct sort of deal.
Well, you know, we talked about it on PS I Love You, right, recently, this whole, man, it's so great that, or I guess it was Games Daily, actually, last week, right? It's so great that Xbox has a Phil Spencer, and what would that mean for PlayStation? How do you do, not humble, but down-to-earth showcase? How do you show games in a way where you are filming from your house on green screen or whatever? How do you do that in a way that doesn't come off as pretentious and doesn't come off as weird and comes off as genuine and authentic, right? I think one of the things we pitched last week would be exactly what I would do here, which is Major Nelson, since it's Inside Xbox, it's already branded. You already kind of know what to expect, right? It's Major Nelson and the team, but it's them giving you a show opener, explaining what's going on, talking about something at the top that Xbox wants to talk about, and then being like, all right, let's get into why you're here. Let's talk about Xbox Series X games. You know, we're going to pass it over to our friends at Ubisoft. They're going to talk about Assassin's Creed. And then it is the video of, you know, Ash talking about what he's going to do or what the idea for Valhalla is and this, and then it is into gameplay or maybe gameplay over that. And I think you see that as you go on. We start seeing that baton pass, right, where it goes from Xbox to the developer to Xbox to the developer. We go back and forth on this thing that acknowledges, obviously, this is the new world order and where we are, but here's how we're going to package this and show the games.
Yeah. No, exactly. I think that's what it's going to be. I'm excited for it. I don't really have many predictions on what's going to be there, you know, from like Assassin's Creed. I would have expected to have been at a Ubisoft event. I think we talked about that in our reactions that went up on YouTube today. Yeah. I would have expected that to have been during Ubisoft's digital event that they have planned for June. Actually, I don't know if they said June, but for their E3 digital event in theory.
Whatever that was filling that spot, yeah.
Yeah, and so for them to be revealing it, revealing gameplay during Inside Xbox, I think is very interesting. But other than that, I'm very curious on the developers they've pulled, because the Assassin's Creed thing specifically seems like it is very much like a marketing deal that they have between them, given like the Xbox Series X logo in the Assassin's Creed reveal. And yeah, them then following up immediately with gameplay at the Inside Xbox event. Like, I wonder what else is going to be there.
I would think more Ubisoft, right? You imagine we're going to get more Watch Dogs Legion there. I feel like that's the kind of thing, especially with, you know, and we'll get into this with Assassin's Creed, it opening with the Xbox logo, closing with, you know, plays best on Series X kind of stuff, right? It, you know, I saw a lot of questions in the mailbag today asking, wait, why are they doing this? Whatever. Of course, Assassin's Creed is coming to everything, but it is Xbox being aggressive and going after Assassin's Creed, which will be one of the big launch games, obviously, for next gen, mm-hmm. and saying, we want to, you know, do the marketing exclusivity deal with you. So every Assassin's Creed trailer is going to look like it's an Xbox exclusive, when in fact it can go everywhere. And so if you already have that relationship going, you wonder, not even if it'll be an exclusive agreement, because it probably already started, and I should go look at Watchdog Legion's trailer, but I'm in the middle of a show. But I would imagine you still get another taste of it there, where there is like a Ubisoft block kind of thing, where it is like, here's Assassin's Creed, later on, here's what's happening with Watchdogs. I think you start seeing stuff like that. And when, again, to your point, right, that this is third parties, then it starts playing out into, are we going to get major announcements at this, or is this going to be the first of many? And major announcements, I guess, is putting stuff down. Is this going to be the first of many? Here's the games you already thought would be coming in the fall slash holiday.
Yeah, we don't necessarily expect to see like a Starfield or like a big like
right.
like Cyberpunk. Actually, I probably do expect to see here.
Right.
They just now that I think about it,
and all that, there's a partnership there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. There's partnership there, and Cyberpunk has appeared in previous Microsoft E3 press conferences. Yep.
And, you know, we'll get to it here. Actually, we'll get to it in a second with Assassin's Creed, but they've already confirmed that this is a game that features smart delivery. So you figure, yeah. Are they going to package a bunch of games together that talk about that even? Where it's like Cyberpunk's there, Assassin's Creed's there. Any of the other games are going to have coming out this fall that are going to be actually using smart delivery and, you know, giving you the best version no matter where you buy. I think with that being a big tentpole for what the Xbox Series X is, I imagine there will be a section on that and they talk about it there. But we're back to, how do they package this? What does it look like? Who exactly is hosting?
Yeah, and I wonder, like, I mean, we talk a lot about Ubisoft, right? What is EA up to? Do you think EA is going to be yeah. there? Because we've seen that EA doesn't really have any games on the slate as of right now.
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be there? What other third-party partners, like big publishers, might be there? Watch Dogs Legion, I think, is an interesting one, because I'm not of the mind that Watch Dogs Legion is going to be there at launch.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Remember, they had done that whole thing. We had gone back recently about dates on that, and it was that they had put it for the fiscal year, meaning that it could ship in spring, which makes sense, especially if you already have Assassin's Creed. That's a tried and true EA move, right, of putting two of your own games out on top of each other to fight to the death.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Same month. And so I wonder if then marketing for Watch Dogs Legion then gets shifted because of that. Like, maybe they don't want to show off Assassin's Creed and Watch Dogs Legion at the same time, so they don't trample over each other. And so I wonder if Watch Dogs Legion maybe then gets pushed to like August in terms of like when the marketing ramp up begins again.
Yeah, it's also the argument of how long can you show something without putting it out, right? You always worry about, hey, we don't want to, you know, especially with Watch Dogs, right? You remember Watch Dogs 1, we heard about it for how many E3s in a row, and we were all so sick of it by the time it came out, I couldn't live up to expectations. What does that mean for Legion, and is that in a different... I think it's, I hear you. I think it's in a different strata, really, though, because Legion is such a weird game idea that you need to wrap your head around where it is, you know what I mean? Of like, be anybody. There is no main character. There's no main character. Everyone's the main character. Like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, how do I look at that and go? And like, we've been lucky enough to, or I've been lucky enough to do demos when we were up at the Toronto for the expo, that name has escaped
EGX?
Me. EGX? CNE, the Canadian National Exhibition, where we ate all the weird food. For KFAF, I did a Watch Dogs panel there with them. And like, when you get into it and start talking about Legion, it's awesome. But I just think it's so hard to express in a trailer, which is back to being the dreams problem. We'll see how that all nets out for everybody in the end on that one. But next week, Wes, Thursday.
Next week.
The 7th, 8 a.m.
Now, maybe this is a question for Tim, but like, are we going to react to it?
I know we're not reacting to this.
We historically don't do the Inside Xboxes, but this seems like it's different.
I think in the past it's been we don't know what to expect necessarily. This one for them coming out and being like, we're doing it and it's going to be the first look at next-gen gameplay from our global developers partners. Like that, you, I get that. That's going to be trailers. And yeah, they're going to be talking at times too. Maybe we're talking over them. I think it'll be more like, you know, a similar thing to XO 18 or 19 or whatever, where we'll talk over them that way and try not to get in the way, but at least see the gameplay together. And if it, and if it isn't what we want it to be, whatever, if we don't put up the video, but I think it's going to be pretty great.
When do you then think we get the, like, I don't want to say first the bigger party. Xbox event, but like the first party blowout for Xbox. Do you think June? Because that's where I'm still, like, I think that E3 window probably still holds important for them.
The fact that nobody has committed to their old E3 dates, I find very interesting. Because when E3 went away, my whole thing was like, well, I think it's going to stay the same. That weekend will still be the same. It's going to be, you know, Microsoft holding their press conference as usual, or digital, obviously. But time slots, right? It'll still be Ubisoft. It'll still be Bethesda. It'll still be this. And what we see, right, is Bethesda go away. EA has said nothing about EA Play, right? Like, to that, like, even if it's going to be just digital only. Obviously, PlayStation's out of the mix. We're about to talk about today. We're going to talk about Nintendo being out of the mix. Like, I thought for sure it was going to be everybody anchored to the same time periods, but clearly not. And so, yeah, now it seems like there's a lot of calendar space to work with. And so, where Xbox wants to do their, and it's, yeah, I'm with you, right? Of like, it sounds weird to say their real event, their big event, but the event that's like, not going to be branded inside Xbox. That's going to be branded the reveal of the Xbox Series X, right? And it's going to probably talk about Lockhart, and it's going to give you a price, and it's going to give you a date, and it's going to show you what Drew Murray has been working on at the Initiative, right? And like all these other things. Like, that's super exciting and super different than I think what we're getting next week. Next week, I bet we get, you know, what, between 3 and 5 games? I don't think that's like, I don't want to be too.
So you think it's gonna be like a lot shorter of a thing, like a lot more.
I don't think it's gonna be shorter. I think it's gonna be more. I don't think it's gonna be shorter. I think it's gonna be longer form, where it's going to be here. Let's talk about Assassin's Creed 4 or 5
for like 15 minutes.
Yeah, not that much. But like a game, you know, like a let's play with the dev or whatever on it, talking about it. And maybe I'm just setting my expectations low. Like, I would love to come away tomorrow or next week with what, a week from today, with 15 different Xbox Series X games we now know about and know all this information about, are super stoked about, but I just don't want to get too crazy with it, because it's your first look too. It's not like, you know, this expansive, crazy, everything you ever wanted to know.
Yeah, like the reason I was even hesitant to say like the bigger event is, at this point, the way in which they're treating this makes me think that there's a possibility that we don't see like a huge Xbox blowout. Like, what if it is like, all right, we get the third-party games here, and it is like an inside Xbox, and then we get another inside Xbox that is like maybe first-party games, or maybe just the box. Like, what if there isn't a big event? What if they do spread out these? They spread out the Xbox Series X reveal within like a bunch of different, within a bunch of smaller contained events. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I don't love it either.
Yeah,
but. I just find it weird that they're splitting this out. Like, why isn't this part of the bigger event then?
Well, you know, here's an interesting. Well, I think the thing we've talked about both with PlayStation and with Xbox, and how everybody's playing their cards so close, is that especially in the time of coronavirus, where everything's shifting and nothing's the same, and no one knows exactly what they're doing. I think you do have this problem of publishers, third party publishers, and people who have been working probably with marketing deals like this with Xbox, as we're seeing today, right? You see this Xbox Series X stuff all over, the Assassin's Creed stuff. That's happening at Xbox. That's happening at PlayStation. And so you have partners who are locked to marketing plans that no longer make sense. And I'm sure they're like, we have to be able to talk about our games. You have to let us talk about our games. We want to start marketing our games, because now that everybody's at home, they're asking so many questions and want to know what's going on. And like, people are so hungry for next-gen information that I feel like if you're not going to have that big, without E3 being there, whether it was archaic or not, all eyes were on that weekend, right? Or that week where you could make a huge splash. And now that you don't have that, why does it make sense to hold on and not be able to talk about your game when you want to talk about your game? And so, you know, one of the questions on Kind of Funny Games Daily today for this Assassin's Creed stuff we're going to get to in a second, right, is from Marley Nita, who says, wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can. It says, hey, Greg and Bless, do you think they said holiday 2020 because Assassin's Creed Valhalla will be a launch game and they cannot reveal the date yet? Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's exactly why they said holiday 2020.
I was listening to Yousef's interview with, I think, the creative director and the narrative director. And toward the end, Yousef was like, oh, yeah, can you guys tell us when this game is coming out? And they said, yeah, it's coming out I forget the exact words, but the wording of it, yeah, I made it like obvious that like, because they were like this fall for PS4 and Xbox One, and then I guess this holiday is all, it's also coming out for the new consoles. Like they phrased it in a certain way where I was like, oh yeah, they obviously just can't tell us exactly like when because of the new consoles.
And that's so frustrating, I think, for these people who want to get out and talk about their games and publish their games, or publicize their games. And I think that this is one of the way to like tap that valve and let some of the steam off. I'm like, all right, cool, you can talk about it. But again, I know it's always so hard with expectations, and maybe I'm just trying to keep my own in check. I don't think we're going to get to next week and it is like Ubisoft announces Splinter Cell. Like, I don't think they would use it on that avenue. I think, you know, this is honestly kind of similar to how Assassin's Creed have been revealed before, where they give you drip feed of information, another taste. We'll probably get a taste at the Xbox event next week, right? But then I wouldn't be surprised if from there they're like, all right, cool, we're going to talk about, there'll be more at our Ubisoft digital press showcase that's going to be on whatever date, and actually start promoting it that way. And everybody starts using it hand in hand to actually move to their own things and do their own things. I think next week's going to be really cool. I think it'll be awesome to see some, you know, first look gameplay from new next gen stuff. But I don't think it's going to be the end all be all blowout. Here's, you know, I don't think our heads are going to explode next week. I think it's just going to be awesome to finally see some games and see who they're working with, right?
Yeah. I'm excited for it.
Me too. I'm also excited, Greg Way, for number two here, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Bless you and I woke up early this morning to watch the reveal trailer, 4 minutes 11 seconds of Assassin's Creed Valhalla information. Of course, that's up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go watch our live reactions to it. In a nutshell, what did you think, Bless?
I thought it looked cool. Like I prefer seeing gameplay when it comes to these things. I understand this is how Assassin's Creed usually does it, right? They have the first cinematic reveal and then they follow it up with gameplay a week or so later. And so, yeah, like for what we saw, I thought it looked interesting. Like, I'm not really that much of an Assassin's Creed person, but I like the style of it. I like the Viking direction of it, I think seems pretty cool. And from what you were saying about it, it seems like it's the good direction for Assassin's Creed. And so, you know,
yeah, it seems like, you know, it's definitely capitalizing on everything that Origin started and Odyssey continued. You know, it's going to be another open world RPG kind of thing. It's going to be running through it. I kept mentioning earlier, but if you're not up on all the lingo and people, Ashraf Ismail is the creative director on this one, Assassin's Creed Valhalla. He was the game director on Origins and Black Flag. I, of course, adored Black Flag. Origins didn't click with me, but I should probably give it another shot because I adored Odyssey and put, you know, so many hours into that. However, let's give you the heads up on what's going on with Valhalla before we go any further. So holiday 2020, deep breath, PS5, Xbox Series X, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Epic Games Store, Ubisoft Store, Google Stadia, and Uplay Plus. It does support Xbox's smart delivery. Now the bullet points come from their promotional page. Become Ivor, which I'm still not sure if I'm saying right. A mighty Viking.
Eivor.
Eivor is what you Because it's E-I-V-O-R.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say when I watched the interview, they said
Yusef McGee. Yeah, every shoot follow him.
Yes,
work on the best. Okay, so then at Yusef Eivor, a mighty Viking raider, and lead your clan from the harsh shores of Norway to a new home amid the lush farmlands of 9th century England. Explore a beautiful, mysterious open world where you'll face brutal enemies, raid fortresses, build your clan's new settlement, and forge alliances to win glory and earn a place in Valhalla. England in the age of the Vikings is a fractured nation of petty lords and warring kingdoms. Beneath the chaos lies a rich and untamed land waiting for a new conqueror. Will it be you? Lead your people in massive assaults against Saxon armies and fortresses, and expand your influence far beyond your settlement's borders. Command a crew of raiders and launch lightning-fast surprise attacks from your longship to claim your enemy's riches for your clan. Unleash the ruthless fighting style of a Viking warrior and dual-wield axes, swords, or even shields against fierce, relentless foes. Choose your tactics and dismember opponents in close-quarters combat, riddle them with arrows, or assassinate them with your hidden blade. The advanced RPG mechanics of Assassin's Creed Valhalla will give you new ways to grow as a warrior and a leader. Influence the world around you while acquiring new skills and gear to suit your playstyle. Blaze your own path across England by fighting brutal battles and leading fiery raids, or form strategic alliances and triumph by your wits. Every choice you make in combat and conversation is another step on the path to greatness. Grow and customize your own settlement by recruiting new clan members and building upgradable structures. Get better troops by constructing a barracks, improve your weapons at the blacksmith, discover new customization options with a tattoo parlor, and much more. Create and customize your own mercenary Vikings to share online and reap the spoils when they fight alongside your friends in their own sagas. Recruit mercenaries created by other players and add their strength to your forces. Sail across the icy North Sea to discover and conquer the broken kingdoms of England. Immerse yourself in activities like hunting, fishing, dice, and drinking games, or engage in the traditional competitions like flighting, or, as it's better known, verbally devastating rivals through the art of the Viking rap battle.
Let's go.
That's fun. This is a game right here, Bless. You kidding me right now? Epic rap battles of history. So now, everything I just read to you, does this make you any more inclined to play this? You haven't played other recent Assassin's Creeds.
No, I mean, well, I started playing Odyssey, but I didn't get far enough for me to be like, I've played this game. I played probably like an hour or so of it.
Sure.
And I honestly, like, all this stuff intrigues me, right? Like, the idea that Assassin's Creed has been continually going down this route of being even RPG. More of an open world and being more of like an RPG, like systemic kind of like a growing world, right? Like, I like this direction more so than, or I like how this direction sounds more so than the original direction of Assassin's Creed, where Assassin's Creed very much started off as like a, what we kind of think of as the traditional Ubisoft game that they've kind of like broken out of nowadays. But like, in terms of like, you know, find the towers, complete the checklists, like do your objectives, do all that stuff, right? Assassin's Creed nowadays seems like it's gone more toward like an RPG route. And all the things that you just like talked about here in all the bullet points, right, seem to expand on that, right? Every choice you make in combat and conversation is another step toward a path of greatness, right? The whole settlement stuff, all that stuff sounds cool and good to me. I'd like to see how it actually ends up in practice, because in practice, if that settlement stuff actually works and it actually gives you a reason to keep coming back and really want to tinker around with the systems, I think that could be really fun, and that alone interests me.
Yeah, it seems so much that we're getting traction on what an RPG Assassin's Creed looks like, right? Because of course I loved Odyssey, but in the choices I was making, I felt like, okay, cool, at the end this influences the cutscene, like who's at the dinner table kind of thing, but I didn't feel like there was these, you know, dramatic shifts between stuff. Me and Kevin got back together, you know, when we were playing, and we'd come together the next day and like, well, what happened here? Oh, well, the whole island was poisoned because this is like, oh, that was cool. But there weren't a bunch of those, right? The stuff here where they're talking about, blaze your own path across England by fighting brutal battles and leading fiery raids, or form strategic alliances and triumph by your wits, gets me really excited, right? Every choice you make in combat and conversation is another step on the path towards greatness. If there are really going to be these diverging paths, right, where either you are leading by being an inspiring king or ruler or whatever you want to be, or you're leading by, you know, being terrifying people, that's an interesting idea of really making that character your own, right? Making your Eivor different than anybody else's. And then, yeah, the settlement stuff they're talking about here starts reminding me so much of Mother Base, both in Peace Walker and obviously in Metal Gear Solid 5. That sounds awesome in terms of being able to send them off and have them own things and, you know, get better troops, get better weapons. And then on top of that, this idea of creating your own mercenary Vikings to share online sounds goofy and fun. Like, I like the idea of, you know, I assume they're going to be coming into my barracks if that's what, you know, how it works. And then I'm sending them off on missions like Metal Gear, where it's like, all right, cool, I'm not doing this mission, but I'm sending you guys off because you're an A rank and it's an A rank battle. And hopefully you all come back and see how that goes, let alone the fact that I send out somebody, you recruit that person. And then when they come back, I also get the bonuses that they got or whatever, like gold or however it's working. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, like I'm really into those things. Like, it almost reminds me of, like, not that specifically, but like parts of these bullet points remind me a little bit of Shadow of Mordor with like the whole nemesis system. Like,
yeah,
in terms of creating reasons why you want to keep coming back and tinkering around with the world. And so I'm totally into that. Even though, like, you know, some of the stuff I think at first blush even sound gimmicky. I feel like you could be hit or miss with some of like the, like what you just read, right? The create and customize your own mercenary Vikings to share online. Like, at first blush, that stuff can come off like, all right, let's see how far you go with it. But if they really do go all the way with it, then that could be a really cool thing.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, you know, how good are those characters going to look? How many can I create? How in-depth can I get with them? Am I just, like, you know, assigning weapons and stuff? Or is it, to your point, like, bringing up the, you know, the mercenaries or a nemesis system? Is it, like, cool, your guy's back from a battle they did with Blessing, and they got, you know, they got beat up real bad, and they have a scar now across their face. Because, like, that kind of shit would be awesome. If there was, like,
that'd be really cool.
Telling you a story of, like, what they did, and, like, I come in and I look at it and it tells me all when he went out on the blessing raid, this happened or whatever. That could be really neat. However, Charles Jacobson writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, two questions. Greg, Eivor, badass ladies, or Tim Geddes if he decided to try this in his 30s. Blessing, flighting, the rap battles. Thoughts? Blessing, what is your thoughts on some rap battles here?
I mean, that's they've sold me on the game. You know, you ask me like do what they describe, does that interest me, right? Like, you know, RPG systems, whatever. A beautiful open world, whatever. Main characters that you can choose the gender and be your own character, whatever. You tell me there's a rap battle, Greg? You tell me I can battle raps? Yeah. Oh, yeah, sign me up, dude. Give me a code, Greg. I'm in.
Someone, I got a whole bunch of tweets I think I was one of the first people to read the website and find this epic rap battles thing and put it out there. Somebody responded to it, and here we go. Now, of course, this is just somebody on the internet, so who knows if it's how much we can take it to the bank, but hey, where's the show talking about
video? I mean, we're just somebody's on the internet, so.
HF Howe tweeted at me and said, okay, Norwegian here. Battle rap is a very strong way of describing what that is. It's mostly just being drunk and talking shit. I think Scottish people made it a bit more fancy like 500 years later, but don't think for a second that Vikings were writing bars.
Oh, obviously, well, that's unfortunate.
Assassin's Creed, I think, plays fast and loose sometimes and takes some historical liberties. I have a feeling it's going to be more, it will be shit talking for sure, but I have a feeling it's going to be a bit more set to a beat.
I put money on Lin-Manuel Miranda making an appearance in this game.
Can you fucking imagine? People would lose their goddamn minds. Yeah, Charles, your question for me, am I going to go with the badass lady or future Tim Geddes? I don't know. Like, you know, Cassandra, picking her in Assassin's Creed Odyssey wasn't something I was like, well, I'm going to clearly be the woman. It was that I had seen enough Alexio during the demos. And then when I went to play my demo, my preview, I played as her and I thought her performance was so much better. And I liked her interactions. So it's a similar thing here where I think this guy, the guy they showed for Eivor, right, like looks like the traditional fucking Viking, like the guy from the Vikings TV show that I interviewed at Comic-Con or whatever years ago for IGN. Like, he's got that vibe to him. And then I know that the female version of Eivor made her debut from the collector's edition. People were throwing around the statue of her floating out there. She looks badass too, but I want to see performances and how dialogue works and go from all that before I choose. I'm not going to lock into anything just yet, everybody. But blessing. Parker Petrov wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames with an Assassin's Creed question and says this. Hola, Greg and Blessing. After watching the Kind of Funny reaction video to Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I noticed one tidbit while reading through the additional articles. The game for Xbox supports smart delivery and cross-buy, meaning if you buy the game for Xbox One, it works on Series X and vice versa. However, while the game is listed for PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, no such claims have been made. Do you think that this is the first of many third-party games where PlayStation gamers will seemingly need to buy a new copy of the game for the PlayStation 5 if they buy it first on PS4? Do you think this is a bad look on Sony's part if more games require separate PS4 and PS5 game purchases for the same game, especially with reports that we could be seeing availability issues for the PlayStation 5 at launch, meaning more PlayStation gamers could be buying PlayStation 4 versions of games before upgrading? Happy Thursday, Parker. Bless. We've been debating smart delivery since it got announced. What do you think this means for the argument right now?
I think we'll still have to wait and see. Like, this doesn't give me confidence, right? Like, the fact that like you see Assassin's Creed on Twitter, you know, talking about how they are going to have smart delivery. We've seen Cyberpunk talk about smart delivery, right? And like, I think we've theorized in the past that the reason we've not seen a lot of people come out and talk about it yet is the fact that PlayStation might have their own alternative. Maybe once that information is out there, we really get the full scope of what smart delivery and PlayStation's version of that is going to be.
Yeah.
But the fact that they haven't talked about it yet, like, kind of makes me nervous. And if they end up not having it, it's not a good look at all, because like, smart delivery is becoming a core, I think, selling point of why you want to buy a game on Xbox versus on PlayStation, right? Like, if I own both consoles right now and Assassin's Creed is coming out this fall, right, and I'm maybe planning on getting a console later or whatever the situation may be, I am more inclined to want to get it on Assassin's Creed knowing that I can carry it forward to the next console.
I'm with you that we don't have enough information. Because I do feel like this is going to be such a, and granted, it's a problem at the beginning of the generation more than anything, but it is such a, wait, what kind of thing? What I take away from this and why I still think it's too soon to talk about is the fact that PlayStation just hasn't talked about this stuff and it isn't revealed. And again, you know, we talk about Cyberpunk as soon as Xbox tweeting about it, being out there and being like, we're supporting this. You shouldn't have to buy your game twice, yada, yada, yada. And that getting so many headlines and so much movement. Then, of course, seeing like the Cyberpunk branded controller for Xbox and there being a partnership there, right? Same thing today where Assassin's Creed's out there and they're saying, hey, we're supporting smart delivery from the get. Well, yes, but you're also part of the Xbox marketing machine right now. Not in a bad way. I'm not trying to say these are bad things. I'm saying that Xbox is helping, so of course they're going to talk about it, right? The confirmation that I had originally seen for smart delivery came from our friend Shinobi on Twitter, right, who grabbed a screen grab that was product details. First off, too, Ashraf over on Twitter says that it's spelled E-I-V-O-R and pronounced Eivor, A-Y.
Yep.
Yeah, Eivor. So now we're all settled on that one. However, though, product details from Shinobi say, become Eivor, a legendary Viking raider on a quest for glory. Explore England's dark ages as you raid your enemies, grow your settlement, and build your political power. Assassin's Creed Valhalla leverages the smart delivery technology. Buy the game once and play it on either Xbox One or Xbox Series X when both the console and that version of Assassin's Creed Valhalla are available. Like, it's very marketing-y. You know what I mean? Like, it's clearly
for sure.
Xbox putting the message out there, as they should. It's a great message to put out there. They should drive this home, and especially if PlayStation's going to leave the net open, just fucking slam it in there every time and make sure people understand that. But I still don't think, like, the smart delivery thing, right, of, like, you're getting the better version of the game. So, again, and I'm not trying to put down smart delivery at all, but if I have the Xbox One version of the game and I put it into the Xbox Series X, this is going to download the assets and make it all 4K, which, of course, Xbox One already does if you have an Xbox One X, right? So you figure, if we're just talking about asset packaging, then PlayStation 4 is backwards compatible. Shouldn't it automatically? And this is a should. This is a big old fat should. I should be able to take my PlayStation 4 disc, put it into my PlayStation 5, and my PlayStation 5 go, oh, cool, I see that I have a download for this that I can get you the 4K textures or whatever. And if they don't have that, and that is a huge thing, then fucking what the hell?
I think smart delivery is more so like, because I believe both the consoles are going to be backwards compatible in similar ways. And correct. Now I'm starting to speak out of turn. But like,
no, you're fine.
Smart delivery, I believe, is supposed to give you like the actual new like version of a game. Like Cyberpunk, when it comes out, I can't remember the exact specific.
Cyberpunk is not going to be a day and date. They said that's coming later.
Okay, well, it was Cyberpunk. So yeah, Cyberpunk, when it comes out, I imagine you'll be able to play it on both Xbox One and Series X, but correct. it's the next gen version of Series X that you won't be able to play until later, and that's smart delivery, right? That's the version that you're going to get free if you have the Xbox One version already, if you have the previous version already.
Sure, but again, and I understand that, and I see you over there drinking your fucking marketing buzzword Kool-Aid. I'm saying it's just going to be a graphics deck. It's going to be a package of assets, right? Like, it's not going to be a new mode. It's not going to be a new thing. It's going to be that everything looks better.
We'll see, Greg.
That's what it's got to be, right? Am I crazy? Am I a crazy? I'm not putting down Xbox. Xbox already does this. Great,
but like, why do you then release another version? Like, why? And I've asked this question on the show before. But yeah. I think this whole thing kind of goes around in circles of like, why do you then release a new version of Cyberpunk then? You know,
if it's going to be back with that buy anyway. Because they don't want to. Because there are enough people who are like, oh, I just bought an Xbox Series X. Sucks that there's only an old version of the Cyberpunk game out there. I wanted to have the nice clean spine. I wanted to look awesome. And I'm sure maybe I would imagine because, that if you're doing that, you're going to put, and there's also like three different quest lines or adding to it or some shit like that.
Well, there you go.
There you go. And it would be a reason to buy that Game of the Year edition or whatever, right? Of course, You're Wrong is popping off right now. So I'm just seeing, I like walking, talking. Stephen Hawking says, smart delivery is just a buzzword. Xbox One can already do that. That's what I'm saying. Given the PlayStation, this is Charles J. And I'm just reading these now because we're
smart,
having a conversation.
As I understand it, smart delivery is different from backwards compatibility.
Yes.
Right?
I'm not arguing that.
For people, and you're wrong, right? Like, that's then not what Xbox is doing, right? Right now with the Xbox One. Right now you have backwards compatibility.
Right.
But smart delivery is essentially like if there's a definitive version of a game that comes out, you then own that game also in the future. And now I just sparked a whole controversy in the comments. None of it has made sense.
It makes sense. Here's the thing: is it makes sense to two different sides, and then the two different sides can't talk to each other?
Yeah.
Where it makes sense to me, I'm like, yeah, you pop it in, and it's like, oh, you have this game, so you have the nicer version that's over here that just looks better, and it's gonna run. Even if you put the disc in and you didn't get the new graphic textures downloaded, I'd still run this better. I'm a fucking brand new machine.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just one of those things where I'm like, I want to see how this works in practice.
Totally. Oh, 100%. That's all.
I want to know what the conversation would be when it actually happens. Because, like, I'm with you that, yeah, like, if the PS5 is back, if it's backwards compatible anyway, and I can just play Cyberpunk boosted on my PS5, like, I expect to be able to, right? The way they've talked about during the Mark Cerny thing, then, yeah. Like, what's the difference if between that and getting a smart delivered Cyberpunk game? You know, the smart delivery version is just going to be the definitive version, I guess, that might have some new features or whatever. But, you know, what's the balance there? That conversation, I think, is going to be interesting next gen when that rolls around.
I'm reading through all these things here.
You see anything good?
It's more arguing and not understanding exactly. And granted, it's not like we're making any sense to begin with. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, people are arguing against smart delivery and backwards compatibility. I'm like, that's not what I'm saying. Here we go. Hold on. No, I just mentioned that. Yeah, see? The Nanobiologist is giving us an article from TechRadar that's titled Smart Delivery Explained. Let's see what we got here.
I like how this is like a once-a-month thing now. We just go back and we're like, all right, let's remind ourselves, what is smart delivery?
Samuel Roberts writes at TechRadar, what is Xbox Smart Delivery on Xbox Series X? How long is this article? Oh, it's a doozy. Okay. All right, let's just... Well, all right, here. Smart delivery explained. Microsoft describes smart delivery as a technology that allows you to buy a game once and know that whether you're playing on Xbox One or Xbox Series X, you are getting the right version of the game on whatever Xbox you're playing on, end quote. Smart delivery will be used on all exclusive Xbox Game Studio games, with Halo Infinite cited as an example. It means that if you only buy the game once, then you'll get the best possible version for the console you're playing it on. That means if Halo Infinite is on a 2013 Xbox One and you later decide to play it on a Series X, you'll get the version optimized for that console. It's essentially future-proofing your purchase. You won't be playing Xbox One version of Halo through backwards compatibility on Xbox Series X. Your single purchase will get you the version of the game meant for the console you're playing it on. Microsoft has committed to supporting smart delivery for all its first-party games, and the technology will be available for every developer and publisher. Let's hope they use it. Developers and publishers can even choose to use it for titles that were released on Xbox One first and come to Xbox Series X later. Smart delivery presumably only applies to digital purchases where game ownership is regulated, but the Xbox News post doesn't actually differentiate between digital and physical games on this front. We've reached out to Xbox for clarification, and they haven't gotten back to us still. It still just does.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what we're saying.
I think it's just in practice is one of those things where it's like, all right, we'll see how this works. We'll see how, like, what this really means. Because, like, all that, I think, makes sense. But, yeah, when it comes to the conversation of all right, then but my PlayStation 4 can just, or my PS5 can just play backwards compatible boosted games.
And so many people are writing in and being like, it's not backwards compatible. They're talking about this. I understand. I'm saying that if I put a PlayStation 4 thing in my disc reader, I'm a PlayStation 5, the PlayStation 5 knows that it's that and will get the right version of whatever the fuck it is. Or maybe it's only digital. Nobody even fucking knows.
Well, in theory, you're playing the PS4 version.
Oh, don't even get me started on this. Kebabs is here. Sounds like smart delivery is just cross-buy guaranteed for first-party games. So many people have tried it to be like, when we talk about this, you're like, Greg, it's just cross-buy. I'm like, it is not cross-buy. When I buy a PS3 game and I also get the Vita version, that is not what they're talking about here. This is not. No, because they're talking about, you're not getting two different versions in your library from how they talk about it. They're talking about there being one thing that your system is smart enough to look at and go, okay, this is what it is. That's how they talk about it. What it's actually going to be in practice, who the fuck knows? We're done. We're done arguing with this. Who fucking knows? Nobody knows.
Now,
all right?
I was going to follow it up with another question about smart delivery. Do you think it's a possibility that Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed, they are taking advantage of smart delivery because of their partnership, which we just talked about. But do you think that might just be a thing of like, otherwise, they just wouldn't. Like, otherwise, like a lot of third parties might not be talking about it because they might just not be taking advantage of it.
Well, I think, again, a lot of third parties just can't talk about it. Sucking, you know what I mean? Like, I don't what your cross-gen games or your backwards compatible games are going to be. Yeah, that could easily be a thing about it. The fact, again, that like part of the Xbox marketing agreement they're running with is that you will make it a smart delivery version of this game, right? That you will make it easy to go. But it seems like the Xbox has got this door wide open for this, where if you don't do this, you're an asshole. You know what I mean? Like in the same breath of how we're talking about, like, if PlayStation doesn't have an answer for this and doesn't have a way to do this, that fucking sucks. That's stupid. In the same breath, if I'm publisher whoever and I'm like, hey, cool, I'm putting out this game up on Xbox One and on Xbox Series X. And you're like, cool, are you doing the smart delivery? I'm like, no. They're gonna be like, what the fuck? Like, why the hell not? Everybody else is. It's, you know, everybody else can do it. Why can't you? I'm like, nah, I like money. Yeah, I don't know. You have to come up with a really good excuse for it. Sirens are gonna be on my end. I can hear them running around right now. See how we're going here. See how everybody's got, because again, it's just there's too much of a gray area right now. We're all just having a conversation, which I enjoy, but isn't good here. Yeah, here we go. Zaxxon Galaxion says the only way to know for sure is by using Tim Gettys as a guinea pig. He needs to buy it on his Xbox One X and then see how it works on Xbox Series X. Perfect. Nailed. I think by that point it'll be explained a bit better.
Yeah, at that point exactly I think we'll know. At that point we'll be like, all right, cool.
Not mentioned by then, well, if Sony reveals the PlayStation 5 and backwards compatibility and everything else and doesn't talk about this at all and how that's going to be, they'll have their own things to answer for. I digress. Number three, there's not going to be a Nintendo Direct in June. This is via Jeff Grubb at VentureBeat. Nintendo is telling partner developers it's not going to hold one of its Nintendo Direct video events in June. The publisher has had a June Direct to correspond with E3 every year since 2013. And before that, it held annual stage presentations. But complications brought about from Japan's work-at-home order as part of its attempt to mitigate COVID-19 are forcing Nintendo to push back its schedule. Nintendo was putting together a June event, full stop. The company was lining up partners and was planning to unveil its first-party schedule for the rest of 2020. That included highlighting the Mario franchise's 35th anniversary, which it's going to celebrate with the release of some classic 3D Mario games on Switch, according to various reports. But now, the company is far less certain. If it holds another Direct, it may not come until the very end of summer. I've reached out to Nintendo. This is Jeff, obviously. The company did not respond for a comment. Womp womp.
Yeah, that's unfortunate for Nintendo's year. Like, I understand the idea of maybe wanting to have a chill fall as Nintendo, since the new consoles are coming, since things are going to be so busy. But it almost feels like, with this being the case, with them not having a June Direct, or like an E3 aligned Direct, like a big blowout in that way, it seems like they're almost taking the year off, aside from Animal Crossing, which is unfortunate.
Right, and that's crazy. Yeah, and you have to, even with this, how are they going to reveal these Mario things? You know what I mean? Is it just going to be a press release that drops? Is it going to be a trailer? When do you do that? Are you going to hold out till the end of the summer for the Direct? Because I think, even though, you know, everybody's happy with Animal Crossing, there are still those people who don't care about Animal Crossing who have been very vocal of like, what the fuck is going on? What is the Switch's year? What can I expect as a Nintendo fan from this?
Yeah, and I think... Yeah, it seems like the answer might be like not much. Like, you might not be able to expect much this year.
Yeah, which is, you know, not crazy. Obviously, we're all living through a pandemic together. We understand what's going on, but it's all crazy that like Nintendo was so down to the wire on it that like it's going to domino effect out that way, and they won't have a whole bunch of stuff like they wanted. Like, you know, in terms of what was supposed to happen, who knows? Nanobiologist, who I trust, of course, and very good at you're wrong, has put into the comment. He's fired up because I don't see the nanobiologist curse often. He put this into you're wrong here. I found the definitive fucking answer for smart delivery, full stop. This is from windowscentral.com, Xbox Series X smart delivery. The philosophy of smart delivery is simple. Buy your Xbox games once for versions of Xbox One and Xbox Series X. With platform holders blurring the lines into the next hardware milestone, one license provides access on current devices with a free upgrade for Xbox Series X versions. Okay.
I mean, it sounds like cross-buy a little bit.
Yeah, that does. No, that does. That's what I'm not one of these guys. I'm not going to plant my feet and be like that. I'm just saying, like, I still don't think it's a great example of smart delivery exists through cross-buy. It's PS3 and Vita. I'm like, that's not, they're not, okay, those are.
Well, this is almost like preemptive cross-buy, right? Where like cross by you buy you're buying a game on PS3, knowing that you're also buying it. Like you have this, you have both the PS3 and Vita version. This is almost like I guess no, this pretty much works the same, right? No, like this is pretty. Because like even if you have an Xbox Series X, right? Like let's take Assassin's Creed for example. Assassin's Creed is launching on Xbox Series X. It's also going to be on Xbox One. When it comes out, if I just buy Assassin's Creed, I'm gonna have both versions.
Yeah.
Right. That's smart delivery. Where it gets interesting is, are you gonna be able like? And this might be a dumb question in general, but I'll ask it anyway. Can I play a backwards compatible version of Assassin's Creed, Valhalla on Xbox Series X? I know that doesn't matter when it comes down to it because I just have both versions anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's where things get weird in terms of like what it looks like on Xbox versus what it'll look like on PlayStation. Because you imagine like Assassin's Creed. Well, okay, I guess this is what the question is for PS5, right? If I buy Assassin's Creed on PS4, will I just have it on PS5? Or if I just buy Assassin's Creed on PS5, will I then have it on PS4? But I guess the answer is yes, because it's back in the battle. So this is all weird. This is all fucking weird.
This is like such, and like it's funny to see how I can't see the chat, which I can assume is arguing with themselves, so totally over this fucking discussion, mad at us, mad at it. It's just like, I like dumb nut writes into you're wrong and just goes, let me clear up the confusion. Smart delivery won't matter to most gamers. Smart delivery is backwards compatibility plus forwards compatibility. If you buy it on Xbox, Xbox Series X, you can play it on Xbox One. If you buy an Xbox One, you can play it on Xbox Series X. If you buy it on PS4, you can play it on PS5. But if you buy it on PS5, you can't play it on PS4. That is also correct. As at least as we know it now.
I have a headache.
I know. It's just, I guess here's probably, let's do this. Let's bring it together to this. I guess the nut of my argument here is, how fucking different is it going to be from an Xbox Series X version of a game to an Xbox One version of a game and a PlayStation 4 version of a game to a PlayStation 5 version? In my limited history with cross-gen games, right? It's always like, oh, it looks better. Oh, maybe it runs a bit better. And so that's where I'm so hung up on everybody making it out to be this big deal. Because I'm not sure, is it actually going to matter that much that the game runs that better? I think it's a great move for Microsoft. I think it's a great move from the third-party developers that are doing it. I think it's foolish for Sony not to have something like that. But yes, I understand the disconnect here of, well, if I bought the PlayStation 5 version, I wouldn't have the PlayStation 4 version. But would you care about not having the PlayStation 4 version? It's not going to be cross-save between those, is it? Because again, to your point, Blessing, even if it was that, I could and I you wouldn't, but if I was on an Xbox One and I made a save there and then I started playing it on Xbox Series X, I would now have a different version of it on Xbox Series X, and so it's not backwards compatible because I didn't bring over the backwards compatibility, so the save wouldn't come with me, right?
I don't know, man.
Luckily, everyone in the YouTube comments will be a genius and smarter than us on this, and they will just freaking roast us.
Smart delivery.
Yeah. I was talking about Xbox stuff, but things. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, actually, no, transition, because I was going to go more into smart delivery. And honestly,
Number four, Xbox Game Pass has hit 10 million subs. This is Jacob Castronakes at The Verge. Microsoft says more than 10 million people now subscribe to Xbox Game Pass, its subscription service offering access to a growing selection of PC and Xbox games. The service launched in 2017 with more than 100 Xbox games for $9.99 a month. Recently, Microsoft began launching a PC version of the service, which is currently available at an introductory price of $4.99 a month. Microsoft also offers a bundled subscription that includes access to both Xbox games, PC games, and Xbox Live for $14.99 a month. The statistics came as part of Microsoft's Q3 2020 earnings report this afternoon, and it's the first time we've seen Xbox Game Pass numbers, period. Microsoft says that gaming in particular, quote, benefited from increased engagement due to stay-at-home orders. This led to record engagement, according to Microsoft Communications Chief Frank Shaw. Xbox Live also saw nearly 90 million monthly users this quarter. Microsoft's game streaming service, Project xCloud, hit hundreds of thousands of active users across its 7 preview countries.
Wow. 90 right? million monthly users. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are very impressive numbers. 10 million for Xbox Game Pass, I think, definitely is an achievement. Granted, like they've definitely been handing out Xbox Game Pass like hotcakes, right? Sure. Like with all the sales of it for like only $1. I know I got back back during last June, after their E3 conference, right? I think Microsoft made it so that you can buy, you can pay $1 for Xbox Ultimate, and then that'll then bundle together like both the time you have with Xbox Game Pass and Xbox Gold, and combine those months. And so like that was a deal that I think a lot of people hopped on. I hopped on that, and I ended up getting like both my Xbox Live Gold and my Xbox Game Pass extended from like what would have been like August to like March or something like that. And so yeah, like they've been really doing a good job of pushing Game Pass and making sure that people who have access to it are able to try it out. And it seems like it's working. And so good for them.
Yeah. Eddie at GameSpot did a wrap up taking all this information and putting more context to it, which I thought was interesting because there was obviously more at the Q3 report for Microsoft as a company. Xbox Game Pass costs $10 a month for the base package after a $1 introductory offer. With 10 million paying customers, the service is generating $1 billion or more per year for Microsoft. In total, Microsoft's total gaming revenue for the period fell by 1%, down $14 million. But content and services revenue jumped by 2%, up $33 million, due to the COVID-19 crisis. That is keeping people at home, Microsoft said. Gaming revenue would have been higher, but a certain third-party title began to taper off, the company said. This is more than likely a reference to Fortnite. Xbox console sales struggled during the period, with hardware revenue falling by 20%. Microsoft said this downturn was attributed mainly to price drops as the company prepares to usher in a new generation console. Bloomberg reporter Dina Bass also reports that Microsoft CFO told her that the Xbox Series X remains on schedule to launch this holiday despite some interruption in the supply chain due to COVID-19. Parker Petroff writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, "Hey Greg and Bustin. The Microsoft earnings report came out and announced that they have more than 10 million paid Xbox Game Pass subscribers. Do you think this is a success for Microsoft? In their second quarter earnings report, they announced Game Pass subscribers doubled in just that quarter, and that was before we were in the throes of the pandemic. So now, with news of them hitting 10 million subscribers in the third quarter earnings report, where do you see them going with Game Pass from here? So number one, Blessing, do you think Game Pass is a gamble that's paid off? Has it been a success? And then number two, where do you take the service from here?
I mean, I think it's been one of their biggest successes of this gen. Like, I think it's been a breakout hit. Them making the transition with all their first party titles and making them available day one on Game Pass, I think is like, that's not a small decision. I think that's a decision you make, and you're like, we're doing this because we're dedicated to making this service a thing, and we want everybody that has an Xbox to have the service, or everybody that's a part of this ecosystem to have the service. And so, you know, I think you know, from here they keep going with that. I think next gen is gonna be huge for Game Pass because you think Halo Infinite is coming out this fall. That's gonna be on Game Pass. That's gonna be big for Game Pass. Forza Motorsport, they haven't announced, but like, you imagine Forza Motorsport 8 is going to be out this fall with the launch. That's going to be available on Game Pass. You imagine that quite a few launch titles are going to be available on Game Pass.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to go a long way to marketing that service for people, right? The idea that you can pay, I forget the price, like what, $10 a month?
$10.
$10 a month and have access to probably like a good handful of launch titles, let alone all the titles we've seen over the last gen and previous generations on that service. Like, that's huge. And then you look at their upcoming games, which, you know, they still haven't announced a lot of them yet, right? Like, their big event is still coming. And even without that, you still have Hellblade 2, Senua's Saga. You still have Grounded, which I can't remember if that's like a paid game, right? For some reason, in my head, it might have been free to play.
Called it, the Tiny People game or whatever?
The Tiny People game, yeah, yeah. From Obsidian, right? That's going to be there.
I think Grounded paid for it, is it? It's not free to play, is it?
I think you pay for it. I think it's just the type of game I usually associate with free to play for some reason.
Sure, but, no, that makes sense. I totally see that. I see that. Don't worry.
But then, yeah, you have what you imagine is going to be a huge slate of launch window to games that are coming out over the next couple of years that are going to be available first from Xbox, right? Like, Game Pass from here, I think, is only going to grow and grow and become ubiquitous with the system. Like, I think at a certain point, you are going to associate Xbox as a system and as an ecosystem and brand with Game Pass.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think, again, that's been their big gamble on it that I think's paid off, is the fact that they've been pro gamer. They've made all these cool gaming programs and services for gamers. And while they didn't have the library and exclusives this generation to win the war, bring a bunch of eyes to them, I do think that with Xbox Series X, if they nail that and Halo's great and they have a great launch lineup from these, or a great lineup, I should say, you know, talking about what's coming throughout the years here, you suddenly get people in there faster. And I think it is that, you know, where do we, so yes, I mean, Game Pass has been a huge success for Microsoft. I think it's changed, you know, the conversation in a lot of ways and distribution models for a lot of games. Where does it go from here, Parker? I think it goes that it becomes ubiquitous with Xbox's brand and the Xbox Series X. I think when you turn on that Xbox Series X, you need to be getting at least a month, if not 3 months, of Game Pass free. I think you need to be, it was what we were talking about yesterday on the Games Cast, right? That I have high hopes for Infinite because I believe that they know they can't fuck it up. They need Halo Infinite to be amazing, be a great launch game, and return Halo to its place in the video game industry. And so if they're able to launch that and PlayStation comes out and is like, oh yeah, you know, Horizon 2 isn't a launch title, it'll be out in the spring or whatever, I think then the conversation gets, or the choice gets easier for many people of, well, I was going to buy them both, but now I'll buy Xbox at launch so I can play Halo on the best unit. And then they get in there and they start playing it and they start using Xbox Game Pass and they start seeing smart delivery and they start seeing all the services. And all of a sudden they are like, fuck, you know, this is great. Maybe I'll move over here for third parties. Maybe I'll put off buying the PlayStation 5 a little bit longer. All these different conversations start to happen. It's a Trojan horse kind of thing where I think they want to get this into your house and into your hands so you know, holy shit, I need this.
Yeah. Do you think they're gonna bundle it for sure with Xbox Series X?
Yeah, don't they do? They that's the same way they do with like Live, right? Gold, yeah, your gold or whatever. But I think it's like for like 3 days or a week or whatever. But like because that is the trade off of like if you buy the system and you get 3 months of it, like why would I buy Halo Infinite?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like that'd be my first question of like, oh yeah, you're just giving people Halo for free at that point. Like everybody who gets the system, which like would be a great, that would be a power move. That'd be a big move for them. But could you then at the same time, like if it's only $10 a month, right? Or maybe you do like a week free and then have people pay the $10 and be able to play Halo longer or whatever the other first party titles maybe.
We will see. Blessing. Ayoye Jr. But first, I want to know what games came out before I let you tell me about them or whatever the hell we do. I want to tell you that this episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Old Spice. We're sponsored specifically by Old Spice Pomade, Old Spice Putty, and Old Spice Styling Gel because great hair always wins. Your hair says a lot about you, and with Old Spice Pomade, you can make it say the right thing. I'll tell you what, you've been hosting the show all week. So yesterday when I got to jump in and read this ad blessing, I got super excited because you know what's in this hair?
Oh, I can
That's
see
Old Spice. That's Old Spice right there.
Is that Old Spice pomade right there?
That is Old Spice pomade every day. And I got it at a PAX, 2 years ago? And it's been my brand ever since because it has such good hold.
And you can take it to the bank. That's a real story. If I'm lying, I'm dying. What do you say about that blessing?
I mean, I guess you're not dying. I guess you're staying alive, bro.
Old Spice pomade smells really good, of course, which is why I like it a lot. It holds my hair the way I want it to hold. And of course, it just works. That's the easiest part about it. Plus, you can get it anywhere, which I find super helpful when I'm traveling, when I used to travel in a different world. It says, of course, if you want to get in there, it says all sorts of stuff. It can make you say all sorts of things. If you want to be like Tim, who I guess wrote this ad, says, it's late for a very important dinner/video meeting to strike very important business deals with very important business folks. Classic Tim stuff. Oh my goodness. Again though, you don't need to take this weird Tim ad about it. You can talk to me, Greg Miller, who uses Old Spice pomade all the time. Old Spice hair products are great. So thank you, Old Spice, for sponsoring this video. Try Old Spice pomade, Old Spice putty, or Old Spice styling gel. Let us know the hold that works for you. Old Spice hair pomade. Great hair always wins. Blessing. Great. If I wanted the most hot games ever and knowing what came to the mom and grub shops today, where would I go?
Man, let me tell you. You go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Out today, Book of Demons on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. Fairy Knights on Switch. Level Head on Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Call of Duty Modern Warfare on Xbox One and PC. Streets of Rage 4 on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Strikers 1945 on PC. Sega Ages G-Lock Air Battle on Switch. Pocket Arcade Story on Switch. My Secret Pets on Switch. War Torn Dreams on Switch. Bubble on Switch. The Four Kings Casino and Slots on Switch. Ministry of Broadcast on Switch. Pixel Art Bundle Volume 1 on Switch. Mushroom Heroes on Switch.
Code Romantic on PC, Cyber Battle 69 on PC, Family Wait, Mysteries, Cyber Battle 69.
All right.
Kevin, if you want to get me a Cyber Battle 69 trailer.
Yeah, Cyber Battle.
Family Mysteries 2, Echoes of Tomorrow on PC and Mac. Puzzle Pelago on a Drag and Drop Economy on PC and Mac. Toohoo Mechanical Scrollery is coming to PC and Steam today. An all-new level named Thermal is coming to Human Fall Flat on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch today. And then GTA has some stuff. In addition to offering a one-time gift of GTA... half a million GTA books for logging in throughout the month of May. This week's GTA Online update features discounts on laser tech weaponry, new double and triple rewards for racing and illicit business-minded, for the racing and illicit, along with the latest lucky wheel vehicle and discounts. New dates for you. Yee's Memories of Celsia is coming to PS4 on June 9th. ABS versus the Blood Queen, the first single-player game in the Killer Queen franchise, is coming out in June on PC, Mac, and Linux. Bumblebear hopes to implement a Nintendo Switch version at a later date. And then Arai and The Secret of Seasons is coming to PC, Switch, PS4, Xbox One, July 28th. Kevin, you got that trailer for us, looks like? So here we go. SAS. Cyber Battle 69. Just killing this guy with an ice pick. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That was graphic.
It's kind of graphic at the end.
Oh. All right, then we saw it. It's not sexy. It's just bloody. We got it.
I didn't say that. It is a little sex. Well, I mean, there's some sexual stuff going on. There was a woman like bent over, and you seem like you can touch her. that's just how it is.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you're reporting on what the trailer looks like. I can't get mad at you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Deals of the day for you. Xbox continuing to be dope. Xbox Free Play Days is still happening. Xbox reports great games are available for you to play this weekend with Free Play Days. Kingdom Come Deliverance, Yakuza 0, and Sonic Mania are available to play for both Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members beginning today and ending on Sunday. Blessing.
Greg.
This is usually where we squad up, but nobody wrote in to squad up. Nobody wants to squad up. They were all too caught off. They were excited about Game Pass numbers. They were excited about Assassin's Creed. There was nothing happening. So Nobody squatting up today. Instead, go to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and subscribe to the YouTube channel, even if you're a podcast listener. Can you believe that youtube.com/kindoffunny has more subs than we do? You're telling me you like KAF and fucking movies better than this? Get out.
How?
You don't. Leave. Nobody likes that shit on the internet.
Nope. Not at all.
Blessing. This is going to be a doozy. We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell me what we screw up as we screw up. We kind of, you know, we fucking punted a wasp's nest when we were like, let's talk about smart delivery. So nanobiologist, don't get me wrong, nanobiologist does great work here. He does it for free. He's all this thing, but he's fired up. All right. He is fired up in here waving his flag. And so the thing he sends me is this. Regarding saves carrying forward to Xbox Series X, Justin Ronald said the following, quote, "We want your gaming legacy to come with you, whether that's your gamer score, whether that's your friends list, all your achievements, your game saves, all that should come forward so there are no barriers for you as you think about moving forward," end quote. Well, nanobiologist, I might just be a small town pizza lawyer, but you can't have it both ways, ladies and gentlemen. You can't have it both ways. If smart delivery isn't what I'm saying, and it isn't, I'm going to put in the old version of the game to the new console and get the 4K graphics package. If it's not that, as you've all said over and over again, it's two versions of the game, it's cross-play, then how could two different games talk with the same fucking save, Nano? That doesn't make any sense. He's clearly talking about your gaming legacy, not about your gaming reality, all right? He's saying it should do this.
Aren't games that are cross-buy on Vita, though, aren't some of them like cross-save between Vita and console?
That's a very specific thing you need to put in. Like, you have to, like, cross save is a thing you had to put in and, like, kick saves around.
Okay.
Like, it's not, by default, that's something they built in. They could build it in. And this guy, Jason, is just saying it should happen. But I'm not, a lot of people are taking buzzwords and marketing stuff and fucking one off comments to the bank. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. this whole thing I find is so hilarious. Cause, like, yeah. No, yeah, it's a lot. So there's a lot of information.
Says this. Game Pass is a success in the terms of the way we view it, but Gears 5 was the lowest selling Gears game with the highest amount of people that played it. Is it a success in terms of their IP and earnings? It's a great question. Again, I think it is a success to them. I would argue that if more people are playing Gears and talking about Gears, then more people are hopefully buying Gears merch and buying Gears Funko and buying all this stuff. And again, they are getting the money. And granted, they're splitting it with third parties if it's a third party thing, but they are getting the money for Game Pass. So it's not like they're giving it away for free. You are still buying it in some respects. And if more people than ever are playing it and paying for Xbox Game Pass, that's making it more money than normal Gears would have. Arguably, I'm playing fast and loose with math and things like this. So who knows? This is a long argument somebody's trying to make here. Charles J's in here swinging too. I don't know what you're saying. I don't care about this. I didn't get that wrong. We talked about this yesterday, but DH Ruvenator says Streets of Rage 4 is on Game Pass as well. Yes, it is. Streets of Rage 4. I've been playing it for 104 PSN games. I'm in World Tour. I'm playing as Blaze. I'm enjoying myself.
That's good.
I did miss this. Frankfurter points this out. Did you get the new date? Cooking Mama Cookstar is on PS4 October 31st.
Is that real?
That's that. That went up there. Whatever.
That's funny.
Nanobiologist. Nanobiologist. All caps. Hold on. You're talking about saves. You were talking about saves carrying over the Xbox Series X, motherfucker. And then he goes, Xbox is still saying it will happen, motherfucker. And then he falls. Ah. We've had some fun here today, guys, haven't we?
This is a great episode.
It has been. You know what I mean? We get to sit here and do all this different stuff. And
this is so fun. Now, can we talk about smart delivery during the post show, please?
Then John At says save files. Okay, a save file is sort of like saying a JPEG. On Windows, that loads into MS Paint. On Mac, it loads into whatever a Mac uses. It's the same file, but the program interprets the data the same as the software and knows what to do with the file. Oh, you're right, Stead John At. I'm sorry. That's, of course, why my Madden 2007 will save works in NHL 94. No, it doesn't. No, you're saying they're different games. You're saying they're different games and they have different SKUs and things.
I love
you're saying they're different games. I was the one saying it's just a graphics package, and then we would be on the same page. Who's right? We'll fucking find out. Not on May 7th, but we'll find out eventually.
I love Stead Jonat just hasn't used a Mac.
Whatever. It just opens up.
JPEGs open on whatever Macs use. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a lot of fun. Nobody understands smart delivery, at least not me or Blessing. If you like that,
I think
you
understand it. It's cross-buy.
So then do you think a save would work? Do you think a save from my Xbox One game is going to work on my Xbox Series X game?
Yeah.
That's not cross-buy then. That's what's already exists on fucking Xbox One right now.
But they're different versions, Craig. They're different versions of the games. But the save works on both games. Because what? On your Vita, Super Meat Boy, for example, right? Like the Super Meat Boy version on Vita is different from the PS3 or PS4 version,
right?
But the saves works between them.
Does it?
Yeah, I was literally just playing Super Meat Boy the other day.
Did you have to upload it and do it, or it doesn't do it automatically, right? You have to go into cross save, right? That was always the thing.
Yeah, but I imagine it'll work similarly for Xbox, right?
I'm not saying it'll be Kevin, cut the fucking feed. We got a post show.
Smart pleasure to serve you.